Welcome to Real Women of Bastrop, where small town charm meets big time grit. I'm your host, Lindsay Kana, sixth generation Bastropian, realtor, and community cheerleader. Around here, we're more than big hair. We're business owners, mamas, creatives, and quiet powerhouses. And this podcast, well, it's pulling back the curtain on the stories, struggles, and strength of the women who keep this town running. Because every woman has a story, and around here, we believe yours matters. Let's get into it.
My name's Olivia Blankenship. I'm a family nurse practitioner for the past 15 years here in Bastrop, Texas, at Premier Family Physicians. And then I also work for a medical wellness and aesthetic center called Solage here in Bastrop as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know, the hot topic is perimenopause. I feel like it's everywhere right now, which is great.
Yeah.
A lot more awareness about it, but also some confusion. So I wanted to have you on because you know so much about it and just have you explain some things for us. And I had some questions come in from the audience that we're going to work through today. So thank you for being here.
Excited.
Yeah. So let's just dive in. What is perimenopause? How is it different than actual menopause? Let's start there.
So perimenopause is kind of this, I call it a transitional period. It's really where it's all about hormone imbalance, right? Where we begin the perimenopause discussion is when we start feeling fluctuations in our hormones. So traditionally, menopause is 12 months without a cycle, without a menstrual cycle. And so we know what that definition looks like. It's very clear. It's got a time and it ends and it comes and it goes. But perimenopause is very gray. Most women can begin to experience hormone fluctuations late 30s into their 40s and even as late as early 50s for some women. So I always say perimenopause it's just difficult. It's one of those hard things to diagnose, you know, because we really have to be paying attention to symptoms. And so hopefully today we can kind of like clear up a lot of what that looks like and what we need to be talking about and what we need to be reporting to our caregivers, our providers, our specialists, whoever we're talking to, gynecologists.
Yes. That perimenopause, that the age range is so broad, right? So it's not like you turn 35 and then it's happening. It could be, you know, anywhere from 30 and up. And I think that's a big confusion too, because your hormones, you know, are changing as you get older. And so what is it? I mean, how do you tell the difference between like just a hormone imbalance or how do you know if you're going through it?
So I always try, you know, I'm very much like a black and white person when it comes to how I explain things to people. So forgive me if I need to slow down a little bit, but I look at perimenopause changes in really four big areas, right? So our mood, which can be we can have a heightened anxiety level. We can be more irritable. We can have depression that might be getting worse. You know, maybe we had it a little bit, but you notice that it's really worsened. But just, I tell people it's a general feeling of not feeling like yourself. And that's what it is. If you know, all of a sudden you are not feeling like yourself. And that a lot of times to me is a big sign that you have a hormone imbalance, you know, or some sort of issue cognitively, right? So our brain is the next thing. So mood and then brain. I think brain fog for me was one of the big challenges. You know, being a woman and being in a professional setting, the last thing you want to go around doing is telling everybody you have brain fog and you're forgetful, you know? So I think it's really not something we talk about because we don't want to have that, you know, we don't want people to think we don't have it together, but we have difficulty concentrating and focusing on things and tasks. Sleep is a big one I hear in my perimenopausal women. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to go to being a bad sleeper. It just means you're having sleep disturbances, whatever that looks like for you. It's a change in your sleeping habits. For me, it was a lot of like waking up. I would randomly wake up like two or three times a month at like 2 or 3 in the morning and could not go back to sleep for the life of me. And I just began thinking like, what has changed? And this, for me, it was learning about all this and realizing, okay, these are those hormone fluctuations that we experience in perimenopause. And so if you start to track it, which we'll kind of get into a little bit later, but tracking is the key there. We all have these great phones and apps and things that we can track all our sleep with. So it's really come a long way with some of that stuff. But that's a big one. And then, of course, there's the obvious things, you know, our libido declines. We might have changes in our vaginal area, dryness, urinary changes. So all of a sudden, you know, we're peeing more often. Maybe we're not feeling like we're emptying all the way. So we're going more frequently. Yeah. And now we have this urgency, like we cannot be far from the bathroom. So the big thing I think a lot of people think about is weight gain, and really sometimes not even so much weight gain, but how our body changes. So the composition of our weight is what I notice a big perimenopause thing is.
I've heard a lot of my friends say, you know, it's not necessarily that I've gained so much weight. It's just like this middle like section, you know, it's just puffy or bloated, feeling like bloated.
Yeah.
So is that kind of one of what you hear too?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, it's a big part of the, again, remember in perimenopause, the reason it's harder to diagnose and to deal with is because it's not a constant, right? It fluctuates throughout the month. And so that's what makes perimenopause so challenging to diagnose and to treat and to help women get through it, because it isn't a constant, it is a fluctuation. So when we talk about perimenopause, the two big hormones we talk about are you know, our reproductive hormones, so our estrogen and our progesterone. But really, we really need to focus a little bit in perimenopause on our androgens, right? So the male hormones that females do make. Now, we don't make a lot of them like men do, but we definitely make some. And the decline occurs during perimenopause. So when we have those fluctuations in testosterone, and now you have a decline not only in estrogen but testosterone, and you don't have that balance for the male hormone, that's when a lot of women become symptomatic and have a lot of struggle with dealing with their symptoms. And so it's definitely a big deal to, it's good for people to talk about it, and it's good for them to identify it. So that's what that's one of the things I like to talk about, was testosterone.
Okay, so when you talk about all these changes and hormones and kind of the signs, right? So if you're experiencing all these signs that you just spoke about, would it be time to go sit and talk with someone like you and go or to your doctor and sit down and say, here's what I'm experiencing? And then should they then say, let's get you tested? Because is there a test that you can take? Would you check hormones at that point? Tell me a little bit about that whole process.
Yeah. So perimenopausal is that's where the gray, that's where like things kind of get, you know, changed a little bit, because there isn't, like, you would have to really do labs psychically, right, throughout the month to kind of see where the changes are occurring. So in perimenopause, I feel like one of the most important things is in our late 30s, we should start paying attention to that. And so it sounds really boring and terrible to say, but honestly, tracking your symptoms is the number one thing that you can do to start seeing a pattern, and seeing the pattern of when the sleep problems are happening, what your libido is doing, what your bloating or your sensation of feeling, you know, a little bloated or a little puffier than normal. That's where, you know, you start to see the patterns, and then you can identify it. So a lot of times perimenopause, it is gray, because, you know, yeah, we might see some decrease, but in a woman's cycle, it's fluctuating. So there's really no good way to, we manage symptoms. We're not trying to do anything else but manage it.
Okay. So maybe tracking, even if, I'm sure there are several apps out there, and I'll explore a little bit, you know, and put some in the show notes of the apps that I find that can track different things. I know there's sleep apps, but there might be other things too.
Sure.
But then just putting it in your notes in your phone, if nothing else. And because I've done that before with different things, and just putting the date, what's going on, and then you can go back and look. And I definitely do that with my kids, right, when they get sick. So it's no different, you know, just tracking your symptoms, and that way it'll give you a better picture of what's going on.
And I think what becomes overwhelming in all of that is that one of the big symptoms of perimenopause is brain fog. And so I think that tracking things is one of the, it's kind of like a trigger for some of us, right? Because we're like, oh, I have to write everything down or else I'm not going to remember what happened. So it can be a trigger for some people, but I encourage people, similar to, you know, people who suffer from migraines, it's hard at the end of the month to tell me what days you had a migraine, exactly maybe how long it lasted, especially if you're dealing with kids, family, job, all the things. So keeping track of those things in either a journal or on the phone, it really does help. And it will make your appointment with your provider go so much more smoothly, because you'll really be able to show what's happening and let them help you deal with that.
Okay, just a gentle reminder here. You know, as women, we take care of so many other people, but it's important to take care of yourself first. If you're not tracking your symptoms daily, you're missing the most powerful tool you have to advocate for your health. It's not just about keeping a record. It's about connecting the dots, spotting all the patterns, and walking into your doctor's office with confidence. So here are two solid ways to track your symptoms. Just get a good old pen and paper, a little notebook, but please place it by your bed, so maybe on your nightstand, so that you'll remember each day at the end of the day to write down those symptoms and how you were feeling. Another option is to use an app. So Balance is an app that is specifically for perimenopause and menopause. So you can use Balance on your phone to track those symptoms and patterns and set an alarm within that so that it will remind you each day at the end of the day to go in and do that. Because if you're like me, I have all the apps, but at the end of the day, I forget to go back in and actually do the thing. So either good old notebook by the bed and write it down, or use the app called Balance or another one that you choose and set an alarm to remind you.
So why do so many, this was a big question. Why do so many women, and I think you answered it a little bit, hormones, but we feel like we're going crazy. Like,
yeah.
And I've had people say, you know, I just don't, and I think that's what you spoke about earlier, is just not feeling yourself, but is that it? Is it just the hormones and the imbalance that's throwing us off?
Sure. I mean, it's like anything else in life, right? Some of us are more hormonal creatures than others, right? So some of us are more sensitive to the hormone fluctuations. Some people might be busy. They might not be able to pay attention, or they may not notice it, right? It's not interfering with their well-being right now. But for women who are sensitive to the hormone fluctuations, and that could be due to genetic factors, it could be due to your nervous system and your endocrine, how they talk to each other, right? They work together. And then it could be just pre-existing stress, right? Depression, anxiety, all those things. So you couple those pre-existing things, or those things that can be already in us because of genetics or life or whatever's happening, and then you topple it with the hormone fluctuations. I think that's where the perimenopause stuff really comes into play, because then we start to say, oh my gosh, you know, this is more, why is this so profound where I'm only 38 or 39 or whatever. And so that's where people start feeling like they're maybe going crazy, but in actuality, it could just be a multitude of factors that are playing into the emotion and the feelings of the hormone imbalance.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay. So what are some things that we can do? Talk to me about options as far as treatment for this.
I think the first thing is always, again, identifying the balance, the hormone imbalance, right? And that can be simply through symptoms, right? We have, I know here at Solage, we use a really detailed like hormone, just a basic overall health symptom manager, right? We can check the boxes and look at those things.
Okay.
That's the first thing. So identifying what your symptoms are, right? Because for everybody, it could be different. And then identifying, okay, what if this is related to stress and burnout? And what if this is being worsened by hormone imbalance? So it's figuring all that picture out and then deciding, what are the worst symptoms? What am I experiencing? And then narrowing down how to address that, whether it be with hormones, right? So most women take oral contraception, or whether you're looking at just some supplements. It could be therapy and acupuncture. It could be just adjusting our lifestyle so that we don't experience so much stress, and then identifying what is causing the underlying problems to the stress and the burnout, you know, and then deciding what's left after that, you know, those are what we need to treat. So perimenopause doesn't have just one treatment. Sometimes you have to treat it multiple ways.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to ask you too. Will exercise and a change in your diet, will those things help, or should they help with the symptom?
Yeah, I really think, you know, I'm a big believer in lifestyle approaches when we're talking about things like perimenopause, right? So it really just depends on the person and their symptoms, and then the severity of their symptoms, and then really what underlying health, other issues they might have that you know, can be addressed in other ways. But I think I encourage anybody who is interested in approaching it from a natural standpoint to look at their diet, to look at their sleep patterns, stress management, and making sure all those things are in line to give you like the best. Now, again, you know, even the over-the-counter supplements and things, they're all going to be targeted at a specific symptom, right? So they might be addressing your sleep hygiene. They might be addressing your hot flashes or night sweats, right? Mm-hmm. They might be addressing your mood that might be going up and down like this. So there's different things that you would do. I always just encourage people to list the symptoms out and then treat them individually, and rather than trying to lump everybody in the same perimenopausal pool, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. I know I have all the things. I feel like there's so many things out there. So, you know, we're hearing you know, magnesium for sleep. And so I have the magnesium spray because I couldn't take the pill. And then which magnesium is really good. So it's very confusing because there is so much information out there. So it's kind of like a catch 22, you know, it's great that we have all this information and things to help, but then it's a little overwhelming. So I like that you said to make a checklist of the symptoms. And then it sounds like that's something that you would go over with, or that you do go over with your patients.
Yeah.
Like a screener.
Exactly. To help.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And when you're, you know, if you're a woman who's maybe approaching it from the aspect of like, I try not to discourage anybody from having the conversation. So on the family practice side, we talk to women all the time and they're coming in because they're not sleeping. They're coming in because somebody's complained about their mood, or they're coming in because they don't feel like themselves. And I think it's so important for women when they're going into those appointments to have that information really kind of lined out, because if not, your appointment can go, you know, when you're in just your regular family doctor or you're at your gynecologist's office, those appointments can really go off the rail if we don't have, and they may not take you seriously. They're going to be like, oh gosh, this lady's all over the place. There's probably a lot of things wrong, you know, but really they can all be brought back to the fluctuations in our hormones.
Yeah. You know? And is that one way you can advocate for yourself? Because I know I have friends that have said, you know, go and talk to my doctor, and they're just like, you're fine. You're going through perimenopause, that's it, bye. Like, there's nothing you can do. So I guess that would be one way, but what else do you suggest?
So I always tell people, again, I'm with you, magnesium supplements and all the things over the counter that help, like cohosh and evening primrose. There's some teas out on the market. And if that's the way a woman wants to go, there's different reasons people choose to stay away from medications. They have family history, they get scared about hormone, you know, hormones get a bad name, and some people are just very hesitant. But women who want to approach their perimenopause with hormone balancing, they are the ones seeking out. Sometimes it's a birth control pill, sometimes it's a compounded cream, sometimes it's a shot, and sometimes it's a pellet. So everybody is different. And that's why I say no two perimenopausal patients are going to be having the same path, and they're going to have the same treatment plan. It's very much personalized. Now, of course, you go insurance route. The only thing insurance is going to pay for is some birth control pills, right? Or putting an IUD in to control periods. But if you're looking for optimization outside of the realm of birth control pills, then that's our birth control methods. Then that's when you want to talk to a specialist and really somebody who understands what hormone replacement looks like and optimization looks like.
And so when you speak about birth control pills, you know, are the age, you could said symptoms could start at 30. If these young women who are on birth control, will that kind of, or could it hide some of those signs? Would it not be as noticeable until they actually get off control? Like, how does that come into play?
That's a great question. And yes, I mean, the answer to that is normally what most birth control pill, the goal is for balance, right? We want, you know, if the woman has headaches or if they have a cycle that might be a little off, we use those. We want to regulate those things, right? So we use birth control pills. And then sometimes it's just all about birth, you know, prevention of pregnancy. So there's different reasons. But yeah, I think a lot of women don't think that they're perimenopausal because they'll say, well, I'm still on birth control, or I still have an IUD. How would I know? And I just always tell them that it is still very cyclic. Your ovaries are still working and your hormone levels can still fluctuate throughout the month. So that's where the clarity and all of that should come from, is that yes, you can still have hormone fluctuations even on a good birth control method or anything because of your own natural hormone changes. I talked a little bit about the special diets and some of the, you know, I always encourage lifestyle, good lifestyle choices, exercise, a good amount of, you know, sleep and quality sleep. And now we all have these rings and cameras and phones and all the things to help track our sleep. But I did want to touch a little bit on diet, because I think you and I were talking a little bit about where do some of the fasting, intermittent fasting, or some of the diets that people like to do. I did want to kind of just say, I feel like with perimenopause, we have to be very careful with certain things, because we, you know, if we are intermittent fasting and we are maybe disrupting our, you know, intake of calories or sugar at night, and we have a drop in our sugar overnight, that could wake us up. So I just caution people to make sure we're not doing things that are exacerbating or triggering our perimenopausal symptoms. So just being very smart about how, you know, if we're waking up a lot of times in the middle of the night hungry, our stomachs are growling, that's probably not good for a perimenopausal woman. Just making sure. But I'm kind of a believer in like small changes, I tell people. So I don't believe in never telling anybody, well, you have to stop A, B, and C right now. Those things, you know, I kind of feel like we have to approach it like small changes. If we drink alcohol, yeah. reducing our alcohol. If we eat sugar, refined sugar, reducing our intake of refined sugar, you know, trying to stay away from ultra processed foods, all those things can help us feel better and manage our weight and reduce the symptom, the triggers that we are experiencing in perimenopause. So that's always a good approach too. Yeah.
And I think too, when you cut those things out, like you were saying, each one, write down how you feel that week or for that month that you've cut it out and what you notice too. And that way you're not just guessing, oh, well, it's because I cut sugar. It's because I cut alcohol. Like, you know, actually what you and how that made you feel. So yeah, I think just documentation is key. It sounds
like.
Yep. Okay. Let's wrap up with one more question. So what are some myths or some misconceptions about perimenopause that you wish you could kind of bust for every woman? Anything out there that you just,
I think the biggest myth that I hear just talking to people in around the community or just in general, women in general, is, oh, that you're too young. You're too young for that, you know, and it's usually somebody my age, some 49 or 50 year old woman who is telling, you know, the sweet little 37, 38 year old, oh, you're just young. You're too young for that. And that's not true. That's not true because perimenopause can start in your late 30s. And it's not just women in our late 40s and 50s, you know. I think another big myth is that, you know, it's just going to affect your period. You know, the hormone fluctuations is just going to affect your period. I think we've already covered, there's so many other things that hormone imbalance can affect, you know. Some people are in the old school thought of, you just kind of have to tough it out and, you know, that's it. It is what it is. And I think that that's that might be true for some people, but I think for a lot of us, we want to, you know, we want to try to control our well-being as much as possible.
You want to feel good. Yeah. I hate that when people are like, oh, I'm just going to deal with it, get through it. I'm like, what if getting through it last 10 years, like, don't you want to feel good in the moment?
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, and I think too, you know, I think a big thing why a lot of people aren't talking about perimenopause, if you think about society, we place a lot of value on youth and the appearance of youth, right? So youthfulness appearance. And, you know, when you're sitting around a table of mixed age people, you know, you can always tell who the older people are, right? And you hear them talking and you're like, oh, you know, that's going to be me. So I think sometimes our society has really kind of muffled the conversation of perimenopause but if you think about it, it covers a 12 to 14 year span of women, you know, who are suffering in the same thing. And so I think that's probably why we don't talk about it as much. But the other one is, you know, just meaning like, okay, well, now your sex life is over once you're perimenopausal, or, you know, the hot flashes are the worst thing ever. And then that's not true for some women. Only women who have severe, you know, vasomotor symptoms of menopause are suffering with severe hot flashes. We can all get a little hot here and there, you know, a little warm, but talk about life changing hot flashes. Yeah. I think some women have just been told it's all in their head, you know, that it's not really a thing. And then I think another big myth I always get is that the dangers, you know, that hormones are dangerous and hormone replacement is dangerous. And so I always just encourage people to keep an open mind and talk out what their concerns are with their provider. Bring that journal with them when they come, that detailed symptom journal, and their supplements, what they're taking. That's another big thing. You know, the language, learning the right words to say and how to talk about hormones and non-hormonal options and perimenopause and menopause, and then the difference between hormone fluctuations and hormone imbalances, you know. So, and I just tell people to be direct, you know, like if you feel like your provider or your person that you're talking to is maybe dismissing your symptoms, it's just keep saying, you know, I understand what you're saying, but this is what I'm experiencing. This is what I'm seeing. And having those questions ahead of time, I think you and I talked a lot about this, is just having those questions ahead of time to ask makes the biggest difference when you're sitting down in those appointments, you know, because it does help the provider really narrow down what you want to focus on, because what is important to you may be different than somebody else, you know, in the same situation. And then I tell people, you know, if you feel like you're being brushed off, you know, just push back a little bit or get a second opinion. Don't let anybody tell you your symptoms aren't really there.
No, that's a great point. I'm all about getting a second opinion too. I think that's so important. I think a lot of women just say, well, he's been my doctor for years or she's been my doctor for years and I trust them. And, you know, if you're not getting the help that you need, definitely look you know, somewhere else. I think this is going to help a lot of women and just kind of keep that conversation going and not just, you know, saying, oh, I'll get through it mindset. And I think it's going to help a lot of women, you know, start.
I'm just glad that everyone's finally talking about it. I've been yapping about it for 10 years and I'm just so glad people are starting to talk because I went through it starting 10 years ago. So I think if it wasn't for Dr. Chavez and I being, you know, we were diligent. I mean, we went all over the country to hormone conferences and just trying to get other opinions and Europeans and what are other countries doing? Like, what can we offer our patients? And so I love that, you know, we can offer such a wide variety of options, whether it be medication replacement, not just medication, but replacement. And then sometimes it's not replacement. Sometimes it's just, they just want to talk and then they want to know what's wrong. And then if you just give them that peace of mind that they're not going crazy, then they feel so much better a lot of times. So
love that. Yeah. Okay. Well, what I'm going to do is put all of your information in the show notes. So anyone who wants to reach out to you and learn more and, you know, make an appointment, if that's okay.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Wow, what a packed session and conversation with Olivia Blankenship. I'm so thankful she agreed to come on and give us some more information about perimenopause. Just please know that you are not alone. You're not going through this alone. There is help out there. Reach out to me. Reach out to Olivia Blankenship. She is at Premier Family Physicians and Solage right here in Bastrop, Texas, and can definitely get you on the right track. But please make sure you're tracking your symptoms and you're doing some of the work too. As always, just please take care of yourself. Stay healthy. Stay happy. Thank you for listening.
That's it for this episode of Real Women of Bastrop. If today's story moved you, made you laugh, or reminded you of the power of community, share it with a friend and please leave us a quick review. It helps more people find these stories and the women behind them.